It's good to see you this evening, to know some of you returned. Our attendance is down a little from this morning. I'm appreciative of the opportunity to speak to you and am very thankful that the elders allow some of us to do that periodically. I'm saddened that Doug does not feel well enough to speak himself and hope you're better quickly. What I'd like to talk about for just a moment is something I've been thinking about. I'm anticipating a birthday rather soon, and there's something about facing your mortality that brings an eternal focus to your thoughts. Given my age, I believe it's normal to reflect about life's end and what it has meant to live to this point and what is worthwhile and what value I might leave behind. I would like to share with you some thoughts about the word legacy. Have you ever considered your legacy? We typically think of a legacy as something handed down from one person to another or to others, and often it involves money or property or special gifts. With Linda and I having two wonderful godly sons and their families, including four granddaughters and a grandson, maybe they'll receive something like that. Maybe. I know I've already said I want some of my books to go to John Lawrence. However, for a few moments, I would like you to broaden your thoughts about the word legacy and consider what legacy you might leave behind, not just to your biological family, but to your friends, perhaps your co-workers, and more especially, what legacy are you going to leave behind to your brothers and sisters in Christ? In a very real way, we will leave a legacy of example that impacts the people around us. Why do I believe this? Well, in my life, I've been influenced by the example of some individuals with rather strong personalities. James P. Miller, Bobby Miller, Dwayne Laws, Morris Jackson, Charles Clark. And yes, there are brothers and sisters in this auditorium at the moment who are currently providing me a positive influence. That means that as long as I breathe and have awareness, I have the opportunity to improve a legacy example I leave to my family and others, and especially to my brothers and sisters in Christ. So for a few moments, let's consider the ideal of the legacy we leave our family, including our brothers and sisters in Christ. And it is the example we set as we live our lives. Ask yourself, what kind of example am I setting? I'll keep this simple and consider only two types of legacy in terms of our personal examples. You might say, I'm going to go from one extreme to the other. Do you want to set a foolish example or a wise example? Well, one way to learn about something possibly is to consider the opposite. First, consider the legacy that a fool might leave. We've been taught that a foolish person denies undeniable proof. We've been taught that he hates wisdom and walks in folly, despising wisdom. He despises morality. He or she is not so much lacking in mental powers as they are being a person who abuses their abilities. Scripturally, he or she casts off the fear of God and thinks and acts if they can safely disregard the eternal principles of God's righteousness. In the book of Proverbs, we have a great deal of instruction about foolish examples. The fool trusts in himself. Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel." Proverbs 28:26 says, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool, but he who walks wisely will be delivered." The wise person listens to God. The fool does not. A foolish person is deaf to instruction. Proverbs 1, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." And this includes the instruction from one's own Heavenly Father. Proverbs 15, 5, "A fool rejects his father's discipline, but he who regards reproof is sensible." Proverbs 10, 21 says, "The lips of the righteous man feed." The righteous feed man, but fools die for lack of understanding. Proverbs 18:2 says, "A fool thinks he knows everything." It reads, "He gives an answer." Did I go too far? A fool thinks he knows everything. Let's see. "A fool does not delight in understanding, but only in revealing his own mind." And then Proverbs 18:3, "He who gives an answer before he hears, it is folly and shame to him." Proverbs 23:9 says, "Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words." It's a weak person who is unwilling to learn from those who have more knowledge than they do. A foolish person cannot be disciplined. As a result, their life will not be a happy one. They're not likely to learn from attempts to correct them. Proverbs 17:10 says, "A rebuke goes deeper into one who has understanding than 100 blows into a fool." Proverbs 12:1 says, "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is stupid." Proverbs 16:22 says, "Understanding is a fountain of life to one who has it, but the discipline of fools is folly." As a child, discipline is never pleasant. As an adult, it is still unpleasant. The wise person will accept correction, whether it's from their employer, a friend, their spouse, the elders, or another Christian. The fool will not, and they will continue to make the same mistakes. A foolish person is impulsive and doesn't always have control of themselves. Proverbs 29, verse 11 says, "A fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back. A foolish person's anger is quickly evident." Proverbs 12:16 says, "A fool's anger is known at once, but a prudent man conceals dishonor." There is an old saying or adage that says, "Measure twice, saw once." If you're sawing a piece of wood and it needs to fit a specific place and you're not careful, you'll not get the results you need. This is true of the impulsive person who does not take time to be thoughtful about their words and their actions. Proverbs 14:29 says, "He who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly." A foolish person commits evil. It's like a game to them. Proverbs 10:23 says, "Doing wickedness is like a sport to a fool." Then look at the contrast in the rest of the verse. "And so is wisdom to a man of understanding." A man of understanding enjoys being thoughtful. Proverbs 14:9 says, "Fools mock at sin, but among the upright there is goodwill." The last thing we should do is take sin for granted and consider it unimportant. When that happens, Satan has us in his grip and does not want to let go. Sadly, the foolish person is happy in these circumstances. Proverbs 14:16 says it well when it says, "A wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless." Very sadly, it's extremely difficult to change the direction a fool is heading despite efforts to help them spiritually. Proverbs 27:22 says, though you pound a fool in a mortar with a pestle along with crushed grain, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. Proverbs 26:1-12 has some thoughts, but consider the first. Like a dog that returns to its vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. I pray that my legacy is not one of foolishness. As we consider the type legacy we might leave, it's the foolish example of a person who trusts in himself and not God, who is deaf to instruction, who cannot be disciplined, who is impulsive and who enjoys committing evil as they refuse to change, that we must not be. Is this the type image or memory or legacy we would be proud to display to our family, our sons, our daughters, our relatives, our brothers and sisters in Christ, that they remember us by those type traits? Frankly, our legacy is going to depend on our willingness to listen to God. Unwillingness to listen to God will lead to sinfulness, and sinfulness destroys our personal legacy. So that's one path that builds the legacy we leave behind. Now let us consider another type of legacy. Back a long time ago, before some in this auditorium were born, in 1995, a movie came out called Mr. Holland's Opus. The main character is composer Glenn Holland, who believes he'll eventually write a wonderful and brilliant piece of music, and he works on it for years and years. In the meantime, he takes a job as a temporary thing to teach music in a high school, and the job is really challenging. Life occurs, and he has a decades-long career teaching in that school, influencing students, including those that struggle to learn an instrument and those that are more talented. Finally, on his final day, he has to accept early retirement. He is led to the auditorium where a surprise celebration has been arranged. One of the students for whom he made those special efforts is now the governor of the state. She comes and she explains to him how influential he has been to his students. The curtain rises and a band composed of his former students throughout the years he's taught is there on the stage. And he's invited to conduct them in the first performance of that music that he's worked on all those years. Actually, the grand part of this whole movie is those students are really his greatest symphony. They're his legacy. He set an example. He made a lasting positive impact. We can do the same by the example that we set of godliness in our daily lives. Who are the people that have made a special impact in your life? Was it your parents, your mom or dad, like my parents, who set an example of upright behavior, hard work, family love, made sure you were in church services, or just like some of you are doing with your children? Was it a school teacher who took a special interest in you and made a difference, helping you learn the topic that seemed so hard? Was it one of those wonderful Bible class teachers that we have here or in some other place that taught you the Word of God from your earliest age? It's not in my notes, but I'll tell you at lunch today, we heard John Lawrence quoting Ephesians 1:6 to us with a little help. But that's the type of thing our teachers are doing here. And to hear a 2.5-year-old talking about Scripture like that, what a blessing. Was it the preacher who finally caught your attention to teach you the truth and stop you from playing chess in the balcony, and who then baptized you? just like James P. Miller did me. Was it one of the older men in the congregation, an elder in the church, who for several years met with you on Saturday mornings at 7 a.m., as Dwayne Laws did for four of us? Who set an example in your life to bring you to this stage? Ask yourself, in whose life are you setting an example, and where are you leaving a legacy that is impactful? What type of legacy are you leaving? If you have children, what type of example are you setting? While our sons are 42 and 38, I know I'm still setting an example for them. And that's something that's rather sobering. As you look at the scriptures, Psalm 71, verses 12 through 18 read, O God, do not be far from me. O my God, hasten to my help. Let those who are adversaries of my soul be ashamed and consumed. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor who seek to injure me. But as for me, I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and of your salvation all day long, for I do not know the sum of them. I will come with the mighty deeds of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, yours alone. Note verse 17. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and I will still declare your wondrous deeds. And even when I am old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come. As we look at these verses, what type legacy do you think each of us would leave our spouse, our children, our grandchildren, our brothers and sisters in Christ, if we lived daily focused on God, His power, His love, His mercy, and His guidance in His Word? How would our lives be shaped if we prayed daily for God to be near us and we told others of God's greatness and of the plan of salvation? What kind of example would we set for others if we told them about Jesus Christ, who left man an unparalleled legacy of hope by being obedient to God the Father and coming to live on earth, teach, preach, and then offer his own life, his body and blood, as a sacrifice for our sins? It doesn't matter how old we are. There's much to do. There's work on every hand. Even as older Christians, we have responsibilities. Psalm 92, 14 and 15 says, they will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock and there is no unrighteousness in him. Before we pass on, we need to leave a legacy of faithfulness. We've studied in the book of Judges recently how important it is for each of us to leave a legacy of faithfulness to God if we hope the next generation will serve God faithfully. In Judges, the second chapter, verse 10, all that generation also were gathered to their fathers, and there arose another generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet the work which he had done for Israel. The implication is we have to teach the next generation. How many times over the last six or seven class periods has Dale asked, how many generations does it take for the failure to set in? And you don't have to count very high, do you? As we return our focus to Psalm 71, consider verses 17 and 18. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. And even when I'm old and gray, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come. This verse shows us the importance of teaching our children about the Lord when they're young. We have parents who are teaching our children to pray their thanks for food at mealtime and for their blessings at other times. Will they learn? Of course they will. Let's read Psalm 71, verses 5 and 6. For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my confidence from my youth. By you I have been sustained from my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually to you. Ladies and gentlemen, there, brothers and sisters, there's merit in our cradle class and those classes that are for the different age groups in the back. This verse shows us, again, how important it is to teach our children. Will they learn? Sure they will. Psalm 9, verse 1, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. How will they know to do that? When we who are older teach those who are younger that God is the reason that there is good in this world and that there is beauty. As you look at these verses, consider Psalm 26, verse 7. It says that I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all your wonders. We must always be appreciative of God and what He has given us. These verses show us that during our lives, we have a responsibility to gain an understanding of God's marvelous deeds so that we can share them with others. This verse in verse 71, Psalm 71, 17 and 18, shows us that even when I'm old and gray, yeah, I am, there's work to do. We must declare God, Christ, the Holy Word to the next generation. Notice these verses use the word declare twice in both the New American Standard and the New King James versions. And it carries the idea of to speak, tell, announce, and declare. We who are older know the fullness of time is coming soon when we're no longer going to be here to speak God's truth. That means now is the time for us to proclaim God's truths to the next generation. I will tell of all your wonders. That I may proclaim with the voice of thanksgiving and declare all your wonders. Those are expressions of our personal beliefs based upon our belief in God. Being older and gray, Psalm 66, 16, come and hear all who fear God and I will tell of what He has done for my soul. We who are older have a message we can deliver to those who are younger. There is a responsibility that comes with being older. Having gray and white hair does not disqualify us from declaring, sharing, and proclaiming God's word. It should be just the opposite. We who are older should feel a greater sense of urgency to share God's word with the next generation. That's brought out in verse 18, when the writer says, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to all who are to come. Speaking of God's truth, Psalm 78, 3 through 6 speaks of instruction, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not conceal them from their children, but tell the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wondrous works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children. The next generation must be taught God's word, and we who are older have a responsibility to do so. For us to leave a spiritual legacy about which we will be proud, we have to realize that each of us must devote ourselves to serving God in whatever way we can. You may not teach a class, preach a sermon, lead singing, or serve the congregation, but you can encourage your brothers and sisters in class, in Christ, by your presence, a kind word, a spoken word of appreciation, a thank you card, a handshake, a smile, in ways that only you determine. By your presence and sincere participation in the worship services, You let everyone know, including Satan, whose side you are on. So you may say, Larry, you've talked so much about leaving a legacy. Do you have any suggestions? Well, yeah, I got one or two. For those who are young, look to those who are older and seek out their wisdom. You're not going to offend them. I know that when my sons ask me for advice, I feel rather special. And they still do. And it's not infrequent when we're together that we talk about the Bible and spiritual matters. And it's good to have those conversations. By virtue of having lived a while, those who are older have faced some of life's challenges that you who are younger may not have seen. And we may have learned some lessons that you may find helpful. If you're an older person, look for ways to help those who are younger. Teach those who are younger how to fight life's battles by wearing and using the full armor of God. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So, suit up. Stand up for the truth. Let's mean it when we sing, "We will dare to stand like Joshua." Or, "I want to be a worker for the Lord." Or, "To the work." Or, "We'll work till Jesus comes." Or, "Work for the night is coming." Ask yourself if you've done everything you can do in your family and your spiritual family to declare God's deeds to the next generation. Moses taught Joshua. Elijah impacted Elisha. Naomi taught Ruth about God. Paul taught Timothy and Titus. If you're still alive, it's not too late to leave a legacy. Before passing on, make sure you pass it on by leaving a legacy. Be a legacy leaver. As we began, in just a moment, we're going to stand and sing number 266. As we began, I said that as I age, I'm thinking more and more about the legacy I'm leaving my children, my spouse, my brothers and sisters in Christ, those who are important to me. I said that while we often consider a legacy in financial terms, I strongly argue you to consider your legacy in terms of your example. What kind of example are you setting for yourself, your family, your spouse, your children, your brothers and sisters? A legacy based on obedience to God is worth far more than one based on any pile of money you want to put in front of us. Again, leave a legacy. Set a spiritual example. As we close our time together and getting ready to sing number 266 when Evan leads it, is there someone who needs to obey the gospel this evening? If you've not obeyed the gospel and you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you're ready to confess Jesus before men, as you repent of your sins, we're ready to baptize you for the remission of sins so that you can start a life of faithful service to God. If you're a Christian who needs the prayers of the church, we're assembled here right now. We're here to help. Because Christ lives, we can face today, tomorrow, and eternity with great hope and happiness. And let's remember to do our part as we do so, by leaving a legacy to those we care about. If you are subject to the invitation, won't you come as we stand to sing number 266?